Where do the wars and where do the conflicts among you come from? This is the question that the Apostle James asks those reading his letter today. Where are these wars coming from? Where do these conflicts originate? And when someone asks us a direct question like that, I think at the first inclination, we can get defensive. We can maybe fall back into that childlike way where we just do this, right? He done it, she done it. I wasn't the cause of this war. I didn't start this conflict. And it can be someone else's responsibility. Someone else is the guilty one, whether it's that group or that leader or that country or whatever it is. There's always this tendency at first to want to pass the buck, to want to say, hey, I didn't start this. It was him, it was her, it just wasn't me. But then St. James answers the question in a way that makes us turn interiorly. Where do the wars come from? Where do the conflicts come from? He says, is it not from your passions that make war within your members? And that's a hard thing to examine, that maybe my passions, maybe things within me contribute to the wars and to the conflicts around me. He gives specific examples, the jealousy, the self-ambition, the envy. These things within our hearts, he says, leads to disorder and every foul practice. It's not the things that we want to cast the blame on out there, but the things that we could really evaluate and examine within that cause the conflicts, the wars, the disorder, the foul practice. And I'm not just talking about physical wars. I know there's physical wars around the world, and there always have been, and there always will be. But there are wars around us. There's cultural wars. There's a war of words that I think keeps getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, it's always been there, certainly, different attacks and arguments and conflicts. But I sense it's getting to a heightened place. Even the way that we have conflict, it just seems to be escalating and spiraling out of control. Maybe you've noticed this too. On a global level, on a level of our own country, our own state, and even in our local level here, a war of words. And it's most of the time not good conflict. It's not the highest conflict where we can disagree with one another, we can give arguments, but it's some of the most base that I have a problem with. The name calling, the ad hominem arguments, the personal attacks. I see it more and more, even in our local level. And I've been on the other end of it, even in the last few months, receiving some harsh, hurtful words. It's something we have to examine. It's something we have to look, where's the root of this? Because the name-calling, the personal attacks, it's only going to get worse if we let it go. I thought about this even in reading this letter of wisdom today, this book of wisdom, saying, the wicked say, let us beset the just one because he's obnoxious to us. Even in that title, that word obnoxious, how much that stirs in my heart. The name calling, the passing the blame, how easy it is to fall into this and let the things, the disorders, the envies, the jealousies, the ambitions in my heart spill out in really unhelpful ways. We even see a bit of it in the gospel today when Jesus talking to his disciples. They're on their way, and it says, they were chatting among themselves. Jesus asks them directly, what were you arguing about on the way? He calls them out. What was going on there? what was spilling out on the way. He knew what they were saying, but he wanted to address it with them, and it says they remained silent. They probably weren't proud of the things they were saying, the jockeying for first place. It says that they were discussing among themselves who was the greatest. And with that discussion of who's the greatest, I'm sure there was a discussion of who was not the greatest. Peter, you think you're the greatest? Did you just hear Jesus call you Satan? Huh? Do you really think you're the greatest? You know how much of a knucklehead you are? You know how obnoxious you are? I'm sure there was some words exchanged there that they probably weren't proud of, but Jesus calls them out of it as a way of encouragement, as a way of saying, hey, we have to take the high road. We have to actually take the lower place if you want to be called the greatest. And so I think this is a great examination for our community as we see things in ourselves and in our community that are disordered and that are causing greater and greater conflict and wars, to really take a time of examination and self-reflection. And I think St. James helps us with this. St. James, in this third chapter today that we heard from, he begins the chapter with another examination. If you read the chapter, this third chapter of James for this week, or you're going to read it in the coming week, you'll see this examination that James gives us. He talks about this little muscle in my mouth called the tongue. And he talks about how it can get us in trouble, how it can do good things, and how it can do not so good things. He gives us a few examples here. First, he just acknowledges we all make many mistakes. And if anyone makes no mistakes in what he says, he's the perfect man. Any perfect men or women out there? Good. I'm in good company. We each recognize I don't always say the right thing. Some things come out sideways and hurtful. And so when I hear it from others too, I resemble that, and it's something that I can have mercy on and then examine in my own heart. And then he gives us a few concrete analogies. He says, the tongue, my speech, it's like the rudder of a ship. And then he says in another place, it's like a fire. Now, both of these can be used for good or be used for bad. The rudder of a ship. He says, a ship is so great and driven by strong winds, but it's guided by a very small rudder. And the tongue is like this. The tongue can steer us towards good things, or it can steer us away from good things. And so it's a good examination. How is my tongue and my speech leading towards life and not towards death? And then he says the same thing about fire. Fire's a good thing. We can't live without fire. We cook with it and we warm ourselves. But he says it can be a very destructive thing too. It can set forests on fire, like we saw in Minnesota and across the country this summer. It can burn down houses and cause great destruction. He says the tongue's like a fire. I have to be very careful of how I'm using it or misusing it. And then he uses this analogy to show how we can bless and curse with the same tongue. He says, with it we bless the Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who are made in the likeness of God. Oof. That's tough. From the same mouth comes blessing and cursing. We might even reflect on that. How do I use my tongue, maybe even within the Mass, right? I sing, I praise God, I say peace be with you to my brother and sister next to me. And then later today, I might be saying something that I'm not so proud of from the same mouth. And he talks about a spring, like a water spring that comes up from the earth. Does a spring pour forth from the same opening fresh water and brackish water? We ought to examine this. How do I use my mouth? How do I have healthy conflict rather than just trying to attack and destroy my enemy? How do I use my mouth in ways that are life-giving rather than not life-taking. We even had a phrase growing up in the South, maybe you've heard this, if someone said something harsh or vicious, say, do you kiss your mother with that mouth? Do I kiss with the same mouth from which vicious things come? Maybe even within the church, we could ask the question, do I receive communion with that mouth that spews off things that aren't so lovely? How am I using my mouth as a tool to build up rather than to tear down? Brothers and sisters, we'll always have conflicts. We'll always have disagreements, that's for sure. But what would it look like if even in my disagreements, I looked to bless those I disagreed with? I looked to build them up and uphold their dignity. I looked to give them a blessing and a word of pleasure, a good word. Even the word blessing, it comes from the Latin word benediction, which means good word. How can I speak a good word rather than speaking a bad word in a way that might even win over my opponent or at least shock them? I think Jesus does this in the gospel. He puts this child within the midst of these arguing disciples. He kind of puts them off guard. He says, look, if you want to be the greatest, look at this one. Look at this lowly one. This is the one who needs to be first. It's the one who is last, the one who is smallest. And so, brothers and sisters, I just give this word to you as an encouragement to us as a community that we'd be part of the solution of curbing the negative speech and the negative atmosphere and the conflicts and the wars around us, that we'd look for ways to speak good blessings, that we'd look to our neighbor and speaking good things rather than evil, so that we would receive that good word from God and give it back to him in return.